From the Premier League, it's the official Fantasy Premier League podcast. Coming up today, we talk chips and dips, short term with Shane Long, tinkering with Taylor, and some blank looks as we plan for the fantasy matches that won't happen. All that and more as we count down to game week 28. Hello, Fantasy Boss. Thanks very much for joining us on today's official Fantasy Premier League podcast, where we are joined by broadcaster and journalist Julien Laurent.
Hello.
Premier League analyst and former pro Adrian Clark.
Hi.
And in from fantasy football scout Jeffrey Dance.
Hi, James.
Hello to you all. Big week and much to mull over as we approach game week 28. Two Premier League sides, of course, in action midweek with that Champions League. Any pointers that you feel maybe bear relevance to our fantasy selections this weekend, Adrian?
Well, you could say that that was a real morale-sapping defeat to Bayern Munich for Chelsea, so that may put you off. But on the flip side, you might look at Olivier Giroud getting the nod in such a big game on the back of a good run himself and think, OK, Giroud could be a good differential-type player moving forwards.
Right. Chelsea's fixtures are suddenly looking a lot more attractive. Two starts in a row for Giroud, and the team has certainly, apart from what happened with Bayern, seemed to improved with his presence. Is he one of the options we should be looking at, Chelsea-wise?
Yeah, it could be, although he also played because Tammy Abraham wasn't fit and was coming back from injury, and Abraham replaced him both in the two games, Spurs and Bayern, after 70 minutes and 65 minutes. So there's also a case of, okay, Abraham is not fully fit and he might get back to his starting place, which in the hierarchy, in the picking order, he's the first-choice striker, and Giroud go back on the bench. But it could also be another game for Giroud, this one, and then Abraham will come after that. So I would stay away from that because we're not really sure what Lampard would do.
For me, the fact that Giroud's starting doesn't mean I want Giroud. It means I don't want either of them. I think that they're both going to play a bit each game, but it's kind of stay away, I think.
Okay, we're going to have some other options from Chelsea. And this week's fixture away at Bournemouth coming up for you very soon. But another thing that emerged from the midweek action was a new penalty taker for Man City, one who actually converts spot kicks, Kevin De Bruyne. Jules, you just got rid of Kevin De Bruyne.
Yes, only for the blank weekend, and then I'll bring it back. Don't worry.
I thought you were going to do other things.
No, I didn't.
Okay. This is news, by the way, to Adrian, that Man City don't have a fixture this weekend.
Oh.
No, it's not news to me about Man City. That's the problem. Look, forward planning is not my thing, okay? Mrs. Clark will concur on this. I just live for the moment, right?
Right, nice.
And I knew that City weren't going to play, but I always thought, well, that's okay. I'll sell one.
Yeah.
I forgot that would impact on Arsenal. It's impacted on Aston Villa, and I had players in both. So basically, to field an 11 that doesn't include Jack Robinson of Sheffield United, I have to make three transfers. So I've had a stinker. Hands up.
All right. Well, if
it's
listening,
what not to do.
If you haven't thought this one through or are unaware of Game Week 28's unusual format, there are only eight matches. Some of the most owned players in Fantasyland will not be in action. De Bruyne, Aguero, Grealish and Lundstrom amongst them. Big shock this for around 130,000 people who bought in Aubameyang this week ahead of game week 28, in which he doesn't play.
I spoke with some people on Twitter who said that they brought him in because they know they want him long term, but it doesn't make sense to get him in now because maybe he gets hurt, maybe something else happens in your team, you want that transfer. It doesn't make sense to bring someone in who doesn't have a game unless they're really cheap and you put them on the bench. But Aubameyang, that's a strange one, I think.
Adrian's had to take an 8-point hit. Sorry, I'm laughing. Sorry.
I mean, he has so many points anyway that he could just afford,
You say about living in the moment. You've used all your chips for this season, haven't you, Adrian?
I might have done, yeah. I wanted to go big at the start and just hold on for dear life, but I wasn't quite far enough in front.
For anyone who finds themselves suddenly trying to scramble to put a team together for game week 28, what are your tips?
So I've just sold bench Grealish and Lundstrom and then Marcel for KDB.
All right.
Yeah, and I've been thinking about this. I'm kind of the opposite of Adrian, I think. I've been thinking about this for a long time now, and I've been making all my transfers to get ready for game week 28. So I've actually got a bench. I've got Rico on the bench right now, but I still have a transfer. So I might only have one person who doesn't play this game. I'm thinking ahead, unlike Adrian a little bit.
Each to their own. No,
so
no,
nice to hear that, isn't it?
It's going to be a long hour for you. You know, it's
it could
be. Long
be. It normally is.
It'll be. I think it's nice in a way though, because you get to your game week this week will be so fun. You got how many transfers? 10 transfers you're going
to
make?
Look, I'll level with you. There's so much more to the fantasy league than I realised, and I've played it ever since it began.
Right.
But I've just played it for fun. I've taken it a bit more seriously this year, but I'm learning all these nuances from you guys, the pros. You know, the ones who are thinking about.
So you're
things.
Learning that when a team is not playing, just don't get their players in.
Jules, really, give the guy a break.
It's
by the way,
be a long show for him.
By the way, we're going to have a proper chat about chips and when to use them. It was very much the subject of our Wednesday question this week, and some interesting strategies as the end of season and the double game weeks and blanks etc. begin to take shape will be coming up very shortly on this very podcast. Okay, 8 fixtures will be going ahead in game week 28, and we'll talk about some of the more key ones fantasy wise after this. Ha! Game week 28 fixtures, only 8 to pick from. Jules, what catches your eye?
I would like to talk about Spurs against Wolverhampton. Okay. One, because it's a big game in that race for fourth and fifth place. Mm-hmm. And if Wolves win, then they will go above Spurs. I think the Mourinho, Nuno encounter as well is always special, because I think any Portuguese manager, whatever the
era...
Fine,
but in fantasy terms...
In fantasy terms, this is a big game, because I think that Wolves would score to start with.
Uh-huh.
Spurs have only, in 2 home games since Mourinho arrived, against Burnley, the 5-0 win against City, which was a weird game, I've not conceded. In every other home games, they've always conceded at least one, and often more. So I think Wolves, in the way they play, will score there, with Diogo Jota, who is in great form after scoring back-to-back games in Europe and in the Premier League as well, and Raul Jimenez. And I think Traore is now fully fit, and he would play, he would start as well, unlike last weekend. So,
all right, because this is one of the questions about Wolves. There's been a lot of talk about how Jota may now be the prime option ahead of maybe Jimenez, because there's been a tactical shift in the way that Nuno has Wolves lining up. Traore, meantime, who was the hot asset at Wolverhampton, has been benched for 2 straight game weeks.
It's tough to sell any of them this week because they have a fixture. And I think lots of people have issues other places in their team. They need to sell maybe a City player or a Villa player. So if you have Traore, it's a really tough sell this week, I think, because he might play, he might not play. I think he's going to get some game time most game weeks, but is he going to start? It's a little...
Right, and he definitely, by the way, there's a game week 31, which we'll be talking about later on, where a lot of teams look like blanking. They definitely have a fixture, Wolves.
Yeah, so there are 4 teams right now that we know they're out of the FA Cup, so we know they're going to play in game week 31. The other fixtures, it's a bit up in the air. But Wolves, Bournemouth, Burnley, and Watford, we know those 4 are going to play. So if you are looking for a transfer, maybe one of those sides.
But in terms of which Wolves to go for, and it looks like we're looking way more at Wolves here than at Spurs, perhaps understandably. Who would be your 3 Wolves players to have? Jeff?
It's tough. I like the defense a lot because I think that there aren't a lot of cheap defenders. So I'd probably go maybe with a defender, and then in midfield, it's tough. I think Jimenez is, for me, he's going to play every game. He's the one that I'd say for sure I'd get him in. But then other than that, a defender, and then maybe, I'm not sure where else really.
Jimenez is the most transferred in player this week by fantasy managers. Why is it that Jota could be, though, the better option because of this tactical shift, Jules?
Because he plays less as a winger than he used to before. He has more of a central, almost second striker position now, which I think, one, suits his qualities very well, and he will benefit from Raul Jimenez's link-up play and the way he can hold the ball up, and Jimenez is very good at that as well. And I think we saw that in the 2 games against Espanyol and against Norwich as well, how Jota benefited from that. And I think them 2 partnership is very interesting.
But if Traore comes back in, like you say he will, then where does he fit in? Because he won't play surely at wing back with Doherty there. So will Jota then revert to more of the sort of inverted winger again?
Or you could play Traore on the kind of the other side of Jota with Jimenez up front on his own, and it may be a bit different for Traore to adapt in there, but I think that would still work very well as a front 3.
Yeah. The other thing is that Jota's price is 6.2 and Jimenez is 7.9, so there's a big difference there.
True.
And if you want to save money and pump money somewhere else, then if you think Jota's going to play, then he's a really nice pick.
Okay, and 16 points, a season high haul for him last weekend, although admittedly that was against Norwich, interesting. Adrian, what catches your eye?
Bournemouth against Chelsea, because this is Chelsea's bogey team. Three out of the last four meetings, Bournemouth have won. So Eddie Howe's kind of got their number.
Do you believe in that? Do you think that means it's going to continue this time?
I don't think it means that will continue.
Right.
Because Chelsea are a stronger team, but it may play in the minds of both sets of players. It will surely give the Cherries players a little bit more confidence knowing that they've beaten them, because let's face it, they haven't had radical turnover in players, right. Bournemouth. So the fact that they've beaten Chelsea before will give them more belief. And Chelsea, will it focus minds or will it make them more nervous? Personally, yep. I think on the back of that chastening performance against Bayern Munich, it will focus minds. I think Lampard will get into his players this week. And remember, they've had a tough run, Chelsea, a tough run of fixtures. They still scored twice, and I don't think they played particularly well in many of those games. But they scored twice against Arsenal, twice against Leicester, twice against Spurs.
Twice against Spurs, yeah.
Exactly. So what could they do against Bournemouth? I think they will score goals in this game.
So you're looking at Chelsea assets for this game?
I am actually. I can see why people might be seduced by the odd Bournemouth player.
Right.
But for me, yeah,
Bournemouth who won this fixture 4-0 last season.
I know. But I think Lampard will really focus their minds on this game. And Mount is winking at me at the price.
Is he?
Yeah, low sixes. I think he's 6.1.
Is he passing your eye test? Recent performances suggest
the last couple of games, he's getting into the box more than he was. Conte's injury is massive for Mason Mount because it frees up an extra attacking midfield slot. And the way that they've set up in recent games, they've got two behind the one, and that is Mason Mount's game.
All right, so you mentioned Giroud before and the guy's roundly slammed you down. What do you make of Mason Mount as a suggestion?
I think he's a nice pick. I also think the defence is maybe somewhere we can go. Now, they aren't keeping a lot of clean sheets, but if they do start keeping clean sheets, Reece James is maybe an option. He's 5 million. And then Alonso, Alonso doesn't start most games, but he actually has the highest points per game of any defender in FPL this season. So when he starts, he gets points. So if he can get a run of games, he's 6 million. It's a lot of money, but if he does start, he does score.
Okay, right.
I'm just skeptical about Mason Mount's decision making. I saw him, I was at the game on Tuesday against Bayern, and there's a lot of good position, but then the end product is not there. He crosses when he should shoot, he shoots when he should cross, and I'm just not sure that what he had at the beginning of the season where everything was working for him, it looks like he's lost a little bit of that, and I would want to wait a little bit more before bringing him back.
All right.
The other one is Pulisic, and when does he come back and how does he affect Chelsea? The fixtures are so good. If he comes back, maybe that helps Mount out. Maybe that he's an option himself.
Okay. A quick mention for West Ham's clash with Saints. West Ham, who lost on Monday away at Liverpool, but I think impressed leading until the final period of the game, and whether maybe they could turn it around then begin to put some results together. At home to Saints this time, they've got a great record against Southampton. As for Saints, I noticed that Shane Long, and we've all got, or I think a third of managers worldwide have Danny Ings in our teams, but he's actually been outperformed over the last five game weeks by almost double by his forward partner Shane Long. Is it time to clear Ings out of one of those coveted front three slots? What do you think, guys?
Well, I'm pretty loyal to Ingsy. He's delivered for me. Still a good price. I'm prepared to give him more time. But there is a slight worry, I guess. On this fixture, by the way, Mikel Antonio stands out for me. Midfielder, under seven. If you cast your mind back to the game at St Mary's, he absolutely tortured them up front on his own with his pace. They couldn't handle him. They're not the quickest back four or back three, whichever way they set up Southampton. So, I don't know, if you believe in West Ham, and I'm not a massive believer in Moyes and what they're doing.
Their fixtures are grim.
Exactly.
You expect Antonio to at home to play as a lone striker and not Ale, because he played at Liverpool for tactical reasons.
For me, he should be up front with Ale.
Right. Is he winking?
He's not winking.
Okay. No. All right, then. The fixtures there worry me. Sorry, Jeff.
Yeah, I think Long is, in a similar way to Wolves, I think Southampton, there's two strikers there. One of them is more expensive. One of them is a lot cheaper. Long is only 4.6 million. So if you want to save money, you're taking a risk with these players. They're cheaper for a reason. Yata and Long might not perform long term, but if you can get them when they're performing, that's a huge boost because you have so much money.
Well, my issue is not so much for bringing along, but just getting rid of Ings, because I'm desperate to find room for a Wolves forward, whether it's Jota or Jimenez, and out of the three that I've got, Vardy, Calvert-Lewin and Ings, it looks like Danny might be time to go. Anyway, that's enough about my dilemmas. Jeff, what are you pondering this week?
Yeah, so I think the Watford-Liverpool game, there's going to be lots of points there. But I'm actually looking at Newcastle-Burnley, not because it's a flashy game, not because maybe the point scores will be double-digit hauls, but because there are some nice picks there long-term as well, particularly at Burnley. So Charlie Taylor is their left back, 4.2 million, 1.8% ownership, and he's got really nice fixtures in Game Week 28 and in Game Week 31 when you want
Burnley
players
play
to play.
So Burnley play in both those?
They do, yeah. And I think in the same way then, if you are looking for a goalkeeper, Pope is 4.8 million.
Right.
Again, he's got good fixtures in those games when other people might not even have a keeper. And then in midfield, McNeil.
Pope, just to say, no goalkeeper's recorded more clean sheets than his total of 10 so far this season.
So when do you bring him in, though? Because then they play Spurs and City after this weekend.
Will you rotate with your other keeper,
I think rotating's a really good way to do it. Yeah.
James, can I just take this opportunity just to claw back some credibility here and say that I've had Pope all season? Thank you.
Well, that changes everything.
Yeah. Yeah. I mean, we're forward planning.
You're going to look at me in a different light now.
Jeff, back to you.
Yeah, so the third option is McNeil, probably in midfield. He's a nice price. If you're getting rid of Grealish and maybe want to downgrade a little bit, nice price, and he's been performing well. And then for Newcastle, it's kind of the same thing. Their defenders are cheap and maybe aren't going to get you huge scores, but they're nice enablers, just like Long and a few of the other players we've talked about. Fernandes, Lascelles, really nice prices and not very highly owned.
And they've kept a lot of clean sheets at home as well.
Surprising number,
five, actually. So, and they're at home this weekend, so...
You know who could be clever at Newcastle is Danny Rose, because Danny Rose will play every game and he's a good crosser. He's not the best left back in the history of the game, but he's a good crosser of the ball for Joel Linton or even Andy Carroll.
Do you get points for assists that aren't converted?
No, but you should. I think come on, like Buendia would be the king of the game if Buendia had points for all the chances he created at Norwich, but unfortunately for him it doesn't. But I think Danny Rose, who's obviously very low ownership, fairly cheap at 5.3 for Danny Rose, I think maybe could be interesting, because you're right, they have great run of fixtures as well: Burnley, Southampton, Sheffield United, Villa, Bournemouth, West Ham before Man City.
Wow. So. Fabian Schär, another name that
we'll be thinking about chips later on in the show, but around maybe Game Week 33, when Newcastle's fixtures start to turn a bit for the run-in, that might be when people are wildcarding. So if you're looking at these players, you can kind of think, if you can plan when your wildcard is, and then you can pick up a player that you know you're going to sell on a wildcard, Newcastle might be one of those places to look for that kind of player.
Have you planned where your wildcard is?
I have. It's not 100%, and we'll see how the fixtures go.
Okay.
But we'll talk about that later.
We'll talk about that later.
Adrian, when is your wild card?
Stop.
Next season, I think. Right. Of course, you can check out the latest team news right up to the deadline for Game Week 28, which is Friday night this week. A 7 o'clock UK time Friday night, an hour before kickoff between Norwich and Leicester. Next up, it's The Long View, hosted by Adrian. Stay with us here, Adrian. We're going to look at some of the big challenges, some of the things to be considering strategy-wise in the weeks to come. And for anyone who was caught out by Game Week 28, be aware that in a month's time, four game weeks from now, Game Week 31 could have a massive number of games that get postponed, essentially. Only two games definitely sure are going ahead: Wolves, Bournemouth, Burnley, Watford, as Jeff was mentioning. But at least five games that have a very strong probability that they won't actually go ahead in that game week. We'll know much more once the FA Cup fixtures come around next midweek. For now, though, that's the next big thing that everyone's going to be planning for, Jeff. Is that right?
I think so. If you can get through Game Week 28, then you have to, Adrian, immediately look ahead to Game Week 31 when the next set of blanks are. And then the rest of the season now, you've got blanks and double game weeks, and it's all about thinking about how you're going to prepare for those, when you're going to play your chips. And I think if you can save a free transfer this week, wait until we know more about the quarterfinals of the FA Cup, then you'll have an extra transfer to deal with that.
Okay. In the meantime, and we will have a bit more chat about chips very shortly, but looking at the fixture difficulty rating calendar, and there's a new one, by the way, available for download now, so get yourself that, because it's a vital tool for making your transfers. But looking at the next six fixtures for the Premier League, two teams on top in terms of easiness of games are Newcastle and Leicester. Now, Newcastle we've already touched on. Leicester, though. Leicester, who've been in a difficult run of form, but starting from this Friday against Norwich, things are looking a lot easier. What have we all still got Vardy, by the way?
Yes, yeah. I do, yeah.
So is this when we're looking for him to repay that faith?
I think so. If you look at the fixtures that they have, Norwich, Villa, Watford, Brighton, Everton, and then Crystal Palace, I think, at the end. If you look as well at Vardy's game against Man City, his expected goal was 0.45, which is, he didn't score, yeah. But it shows you that that's a very decent
is
stat.
It?
Oh, yeah, it is.
So it's 0.45 of a goal?
Yeah, so, right. he had...
We had a one-on-one.
Yeah.
He should have scored.
He should have scored. And, right. You know, the chances are still there, I think. Yes, he's going through a goal drought. You could put that on a lot of things. I think the great run that they had in the first half of the season, the team as a whole is not playing as well. He had the birth of his baby as well, which maybe, you know, for a lot of reasons, mm-hmm. it's not easy maybe to deal with and everything, sleep and all that. But I think that he will come back to scoring pretty quickly.
I think it's a bit of a team thing. There were a few times when he crossed the ball to somebody and the Leicester, his teammate just missed the chance. So
if Barnes
gets that, then he gets an assist. If he converts the chance last weekend, then he's got a goal. And those numbers, when you look at no returns, then that tells you part of the story. But when you look at the returns that could have happened, they're very close to happening. Okay. I think.
Yeah. I've seen quite a bit of Leicester of late. Yeah, the team's not played great, but Vardy's he's edging back towards form. He's on my radar to bring in, actually.
Oh, is he?
In the long view. Yeah, because of it. I think all the Leicester players are pretty attractive at the moment because of the fixtures. Even if that Brighton game on match day 31 doesn't happen, that they're set up nicely. I think this is where we'll see Leicester kick on again.
Who else do you fancy apart from Jamie Vardy?
Evans, I think, is a good shout.
Okay.
Believe it or not, he's got far fewer owners than Soyuncu, mm-hmm. but he's got more points than Soyuncu. He is the first choice, I'd suggest. So I think he always poses a threat at corners. He hasn't always scored. He's had a couple disallowed this season, but he's someone that I think can provide a little bit of value.
Another Leicester player with remarkably low ownership is Harvey Barnes, who's only on 3%, or in 3% of teams worldwide. 3 goals and an assist in his last 4 starts between game weeks 23 and 26. Picking up 29 points in that time. He's looked way more attractive than, say, Maddison or Ayoze Perez.
I had him lined up when I was thinking ahead a few weeks ago. I was thinking Grealish to Barnes for this game week would be a great move. At this point, I don't need to do it, but he's the one I would look at. I think he didn't play last game week, but that was more of a formation thing. So there were two up front. Iheanacho played up front, and then Barnes came on for Iheanacho and played at 45 minutes. I think he's definitely going to start. I think the fixtures are good. He gets chances. He's probably the kind of mid-priced midfield option that's my favorite at the moment.
Okay. And at the back?
I have Soyuncu, and I'm just not going to sell him. I think Evans is a good shout. They both have about the same points per match. The price is really similar. So if you're going to look in the kind of cheaper end, then those are the two. I think those two are the ones to go for. I don't think you could go up to the more expensive options, but I think those two cheaper ones are probably where I would look.
Right. Ricardo Pereira is the other the other name that gets a lot of attention, also because of his attacking returns.
Yes.
Hey, up next, let's get some answers to our Wednesday Twitter question, which was, what's your FPL chip strategy for the rest of the year? Okay, what's your FPL chip strategy for the rest of the year then? Here's some answers. Bintang, free hit game week 31, wildcard game week 34, bench boost game week 37, says Bintang. Of course, you can't play chips, more than one chip at once, so it's very good planning. Chuma says triple captain Kun Aguero on his double game week, which we don't know when that is yet. But Laurie, save them all till the double game weeks, spending 4 points this week instead to avoid blanks. Kier says, pretty simple to be fair. Use your free transfers for players in blank in 28, free hit in 31, then roll on the double game weeks. All right. Well, that's what they say. Jeff, what does the FF Scout say?
There are kind of two strategies if you've got all of your chips. And if you don't have all your chips, then you're going to have to adapt these a little bit. But the two ways that I'm looking at it are either you free hit in game week 31 or you try to get through it with transfers. So if there are lots of games that don't go ahead and you've got players from those teams, then you free hit, you can bring in who you want, and then you can kind of move past that wild card, use your other chips in the double game weeks that happen later. The other way to do it is to just get through Game Week 31 using transfers and a few hits. So if you can maybe save a transfer now and then use it later, make a few hits in Game Week 31, then you can use your free hit on a double Game Week and bring in lots of double Game Weekers and then have a full team of that.
But why would you take a points hit on Game Week 31 if you've got your free hit still? What would you be saving it for?
So you'd be saving it for the double Game Week. So in probably Game Week 34, maybe Game Week 37, there's going to be a whole bunch of teams who have two fixtures. And so those players are going to probably score really well. And potentially, if you use your free hit, that means you get to have all of the players that you want. Instead of trying to use transfers or plan right. for it in advance, you can just use your free hit, get all those players in, not think about it too much, and really go big on those double Game Weekers.
Okay, we should have confirmation by next week's show, actually, which of those Game Week 31 fixtures are going ahead or not. Jules?
Yeah, so initially I had free hit on Game Week 31 mm-hmm. and wild card on Game Week 34. And then, I mean, every time I do the show with Jeff, he talks and I'm like, yeah, that makes so much sense. So I might change that. Try to go along with transfers for Game Week 31 and then keeping the free hit and the wild card for a bit later.
Next week's FA Cup fixtures should give us enough time to build our teams with the odd judicious transfer here and there.
So I think that's the point. I think that we right now you can make a plan, but until we know where the fixtures fall, it's hard to be really sure which one you're going to do.
All right, we'll stop talking about it then and wait till next week when things get a bit clearer. Next up then, let's get a quick round of essential differential. Looking for players with below 10% ownership, but fat returns on the horizon. That's our essential differentials. Jules, who are you flagging up?
I'm flagging up Matt Doherty.
Is he still a differential?
He's still a differential. He's only 5% ownership, ooh. 6.1 million.
If how many points last week?
10 points last 10 week, points. 6 the week before, 6 ooh. The week before that. So he had 22 in the last three game weeks. And again, if you look at the fixtures as well coming up, so Spurs away, we said how big game this was, but convinced that they could score there. And then Brighton, West Ham, Bournemouth and Aston Villa.
Yeah.
So I think not just for Doherty, but I think for the whole Wolves squad, like we mentioned earlier in the show, it may be a good time to bring some of them. And I think Doherty, with that very low ownership, is very, very good.
All right. Adrian, how about you?
And Bruno Fernandes, for me, a lot of people are snapping him up. He's still on 7.8%, so he is a differential. 8.2 is a fair price, I'd say. I do look at Richarlison and I think, well, you get better value there. But I like the fact that Fernandes is on all the set pieces, which is big. We saw that at Chelsea last weekend with Maguire getting on the end of one. He's on penalties with his lovely little hop and a skip.
Right.
And we all know Man United get loads of penalties, don't they? I mean, so many penalties. So I think he will provide value in that regard. And let's face it, he's only been there 5 minutes, but he's already their most important player. He's the first on the team sheet. So I am likely to take a punt on him.
Right, interesting. You mentioned Richarlison, whether he offers more returns. Over the three game weeks that Fernandes has been in the Premier League, he's actually averaged more points per game week. Whether that will continue or whether he'll get infected by creeping Manuitis is perhaps the only question. Jeff, who's your differential?
I've also gone for Wolves defender. I've gone for Sice, who is 4.5 million, only 2% ownership. For many of the same reasons as Jules did, I think the fixtures are nice. And I think, again, playing Game Week 31. So I'm making that move now and then hoping kind of that it keeps my options open for Game Week 31 as well as hopefully get some nice points.
Brilliant. After this, we'll wrap up by seeing which last-minute moves everyone's considering and who's going to wear the armband on Game Week 28. All right then, Jules. Have you made your transfer for this week?
I have indeed. So KDB was transferred out.
That was this week?
Yeah, this week. And right. Martial coming in. And like I said, I will bring back KDB, but I thought Martial being in great form, I think it's a very good game at Everton for United to play with Bruno Fernandes and that relationship between them two. So I'm confident about that.
Okay. Adrian, what's your move?
Well, it's a
you've
big
done
move.
Three, well, yeah?
Move. I haven't done it yet.
Yeah. Oh, you haven't done them?
No, I did. I remember last time I did it live.
Yeah.
Live on air. Keeping my powder dry. No, I've got two options.
Yes.
The one I'm leaning towards is Mount, Bruno Fernandes and Vardy all to come in.
Okay.
And that would be for Mahrez, for Grealish and Aubameyang.
Okay.
So that's where I'm likely to go. My other trio is because I want Salah and Mane, like everybody does. if I do that, it would be Mane, Richarlison and Greenwood, who I think is a really exciting option.
Mm.
Whenever he plays, whenever he comes off the bench, he seems to deliver. But I think the safer bet for me right now is Mount, Fernandes and Vardy.
Which do you think, the first or the second, Jules?
Yeah, the first one.
The first is definitely safer.
There you go.
But again, I know nothing about forward planning, like Adrian. So.
Right. Okay, great. That sounds super. And what about you, Jeff?
So I've already done mine as well. Lundstrom to Sice, who I think is a good option. But I was very close to De Bruyne to Fernandes. I'm still weighing it up. But when I saw that De Bruyne was on pens and then I kind of saw how he played, Aguero doesn't start sometimes, but KDB starts every single game. So he's the one that I want long term. I'll probably hold him.
Okay. And who's going to wear the armband? Because this is getting a bit monotonous. Everybody's been captaining Mo Salah. Last weekend, it was almost 2.2 million people gave the Egyptian the captain's armband. He got a goal. But is there a way of kind of trying to exit the crowd and get an advantage over the hordes?
There is, yeah. I think last week he was the most captained of any player in any game week so far this season. But I might not captain him this week. I have Mane and Salah. I kind of think that the differential of Mane, his ownership is so much lower. And I think that he scores really, really well, Mane does. And I think away from home, when both Salah and Mane start, Mane's a better option generally. So
Ryan,
I might go with one of those two. And then Vardy is kind of winking at me as well.
Is he?
I think he could have a really, really nice return to form.
Okay. Away at Norwich. On Friday, Jules?
Yeah, I've stripped out Mo Salah of the captain armband to give it to Jamie Vardy.
Jamie Vardy? Yes.
Mo wasn't happy, but I said, like, listen, I'm the coach, I'm making the decision.
Yeah.
And I think Jamie will pay me back.
What's your world ranking again?
4,000.
Yeah, you see.
500.
Yeah, 4,500, yeah.
Yeah, yeah.
Okay, so I'm going to take
around like 500,000 more than you.
Adrian, are you going with a live captaincy pick?
I'm going to listen to the 4,500th ranked player on the planet.
Oh, pressure.
Yeah. And I'm going to do the same. I'm going to copy you and go with Vardy instead of Salah.
Right. Excellent. Well, it all makes a lot of sense. Of course, if you want to keep up to date on the latest info about the game week, then head over to thepremierleague.com, where you can also get links to more FPL content like the FPL show and FPL FYI. We will be back this time next week with all the reaction and the lessons to draw from game week 28. And yes, a lot more information about what's happening in game week 31. So make sure you listen to that one. Many thanks to Adrian, to Julien and Jeff for joining us today, and you, FPL boss. We'll catch up with you next time. Good luck.